The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 21, verses 20 to 28. It is on page 133 of the New Testament in the Korean Bible. Luke chapter 21, verses 20 to 28. Allow me to read the words of God. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment, in fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against its people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your hands, because your redemption is drawing near. Today's text continues from last week's. Luke chapter 21, verses 5 to 36, is written as Q&A session between people and Jesus. And Jesus explained the fall of Jerusalem temple and the city Jerusalem as the end of the world and his second coming. Let's look at verse 20. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. During Jesus' public ministry, the leader in charge of Judah was Pontius Pilate. The Roman Empire conquered many countries and colonized them. If people of a colony paid taxes well and did not cause a military riot, then harsh sanctions were not enforced. In particular, their religion and customs were allowed. So when Israelites were said to live, while Israelites were said to live as the colonized, they could continue on with their lives. However, the governors that came after Pontius Pilate took measures that went against their religious beliefs. Governors who followed orders of the Roman Empire charged exorbitant tax rates, appointed chief high priests as they saw fit, and enforced them to worship the emperor as God. Consequently, the Israelites became more and more frustrated and led to a national riot in AD 66. In AD 67, Emperor Nero sent General Vespasianus, who had much experience and military capacity, to quell the riot of the Israelites. He suppressed small-scale riots in the countryside of Israel and pushed forward to Jerusalem. However, Israelites pushed back hard, and due to the rough terrain of Jerusalem, located at a high altitude, it was difficult to conquer them. So the Roman army used a strategy to surround the Jerusalem city from the outside and starve those inside so that they will give up. Meanwhile, General Vespasianus heard that Emperor Nero died. It was AD 68, June 9th. Roman citizens had started a riot due to the harsh rule of Emperor Nero, and even the royal guard of the emperor had joined. Emperor Nero fled to the vacation house of his servant, but he was so frightened by the rumor that an elder will execute him by whipping him, so he took his own life. General Vespasianus stopped trying to take over Jerusalem and observed the state of the Roman Empire. He sent his son, General Titus, to the new emperor's accession to the throne and requested an order about what to do about the war. However, while Titus was in Corinth as he was waiting to pass the winter, which had blocked his passage, he heard that the new emperor, Galba, had ruled for only 7 months, but had been assassinated. Titus returned to his father, and Otho became the emperor of Galba, but he also took his life when his army lost just 3 months after he took the throne. The next emperor, Vitellius, was hedonic and inept. He was also killed after just 8 months. General Vespasianus was later supported by the soldiers, so he went to Rome and took over the empire. Then the war with Israel became the responsibility of his son Titus. In year 70, Jerusalem fell due to Titus. According to the Jewish historian Josephus, 97,000 Israelites became prisoners of war, and 1.1 million people were killed. While the number of deaths seems to be an exaggeration, many people have surely been killed. Jesus explained what these people will face, the fall of Jerusalem, in verse 21. Then, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. When such events occur, even people inside Jerusalem should run away to get out, and those outside should not come inside the city. Many people living all around the world tend to live at around the capital city of a country, and many people want to live there for a number of reasons. So the capital is the center of all parts of a society, such as politics, economics, education, culture, and arts. However, when a war occurs, the capital also becomes the most dangerous place of that country because the fall of the capital is similar to the fall of that country. So Jesus said when they see Jerusalem being surrounded, they should run away from the city or do not enter if they are outside the city. Even after Jerusalem fell to the Roman army, some people continued to fight in the valleys and the mountains. However, many of them were conquered by the strong Roman army. The only one that remained was Masada Caste, which was a 3 stories high fortress built in the west of the Dead Sea by King Herod. And it had been considered as a gift of nature built of a valley that is impossible for an enemy to attack. The fortress was about 400 meters high, and the top was a flat space that is about 600 meters long and about 250 meters wide. Eliezer Ben-Yair, a Jewish leader, took 967 Jewish zealots, including children, to that place and fought against 15,000 Roman soldiers for 2 years. But the Roman soldiers built a tall iron tower and attacked with stone cannons and flaming arrows. The Masada was soon to fall as well. A day before the fall, Eliezer realized that there was nothing left for them to do and made his final speech. "We had decided a long time ago that we will worship nothing but God. Now, we are at a point to act upon our belief. Instead of becoming prisoners of war to Romans, let's take our own lives. What we have left will allow us to live. If we leave this and die, then they will know that we died not because of shortage of food, but because we chose death, then slavery. We were born to die, and this is also for our descendants. Death is not the end, but freedom for the soul, and we will return to where we came from." The speech touched the hearts of people, and soldiers cried while hugging and kissing goodbye to their wives and children. Then they killed their families. Among those left, 10 were chosen, and others lay next to their families and offered themselves to be killed as well. The 10 left killed the rest of the soldiers. One person was chosen from the 10, and the remaining 9 also lay next to their family members and were killed. The last one checked to see if anyone was still alive, set the fortress on fire, and also died next to his family. However, one old lady, a cousin of Eliezer, and her 5 children, 7 people in total, were hiding in the underground waterway and survived. The next morning, the Roman army attacked again, but did not hear anything and saw fire within the fortress. The Roman army called anyone who was alive to come outside. Then the 2 ladies and 5 children came out. One of those ladies explained what happened the day before. Instead of celebrating the fall of the fortress, the Roman army paid respect to the dead. So the final fortress of the Israelites fell and the war was over. There were 2 more wars fought for independence after that, but both failed. Until 1948, Jews had to live as stateless people all over the world for another 1800 years until they could rebuild Israel. Today's text testifies why Israelites had to face such atrocity in verse 22. "For this is the time of punishment in fulfillment of all that has been written." Israelites face such harsh results not just because their military strength was weak or because of economic conditions. The most important reason was because they did not rightly and completely worship God. In the entire history of Israel, there was never an instance where they experienced pain or failure because they did not have power. It was always when their relationship with God had become just a formality and had worshipped another idol along with God. The word used for punishment, ekdaikesis, literally means the implementation of justice and righteousness. If a person commits sin, just embracing him is not the right way to help him. The right way is to have him turn away from that life by receiving proper punishment according to what he did. God is punishing the Israelites through the Roman Empire. Jesus also added the following about the hard times that the Israelites will face. In verse 23, how dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against his people. It does not mean that pregnancy and nursing children are wrong, so that they will face hardships. The wrath of God will equally fall upon all Israelites through the Roman army. So if they want to avoid such wrath, they could run to the mountains, and those inside the city should run outside, and those outside should not enter Jerusalem. If they have to run away, then the most vulnerable are the pregnant ladies and those who have infants to care. It is an expression that laments over the pain that these people will face in a situation that requires immediate departure. So it is not a statement of punishment, but of consideration. When you come to church, a female believer who has an infant or small children has many things to take care of. They have to prepare simple meals, diapers, small snacks, and an extra set of clothes just in case. Then she has to wash them and also put some makeup on for herself. If there are any other things to bring to the church, then she has to take care of that as well. So Sunday mornings are always hectic. Meanwhile, husbands usually prepare only for themselves. They wash themselves, eat, and turn on the engine of their car and wait. If children and his wife are late, then they become angry. So as they come to worship on Sunday, they fight and end up entering the church separately. We have to serve one another. Jesus is encouraging people who will face tough times during the ordeal. The next verse testifies how Israelites ended up through the ordeal. In verse 24, they will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. I previously explained, how many people died, were taken as prisoners, and what happened after Jerusalem fell. As written in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, until the full number of the Gentiles come in can be interpreted as the total number of Gentiles that God considers is reached. The important point is that no matter how hard it is in Jerusalem, the ordeal itself is not the end. There is history of God that will be fulfilled according to the way of God at God's time. Good examples of people of such faith are Joseph and Daniel. Joseph had been sent to Egypt due to his brother's jealousy and envy, and had to live as a slave despite his will, and even lived in prison under the false accusation that he tried to take the wife of General Potiphar. 13 years went on since his age of 17. At the time, men and women married as teenagers, so the time that Joseph lost probably was the youth that he lost and a life forgotten. Due to his proper life, the house of Potiphar was blessed, and so was the prison, but there was nothing on his hands that the world would consider as blessings. But after 22 years of such arduous life passed, his family could be rescued, and after a few hundred years, his life became the foundation of following God's promise to Canaan for 600,000 descendants of Israel, which would amount to at least 2 million if you include women and children that would have followed. Not only that, in the current times, 4,000 years after he had been treaded upon, his life is a textbook that shows how Christians should conduct themselves at work, for family members, and live a life of faith. Daniel also saw his country fall and became a slave to Babylon at a young age. There, he became the prime minister. Even now, there has never been a Korean minister in the global world power, the United States. Not even a Korean-American. The Bible does not explain the process that Daniel went through to become a high-ranking official of Babylon, the most powerful country at the time, but we can imagine how difficult his life would have been in a foreign country for all that time. How much tears would he have shed in front of God as he prayed near the window towards Jerusalem? Daniel was always faithful, but those who were against him were eager to take him down. Even so, they could not find anything wrong with him. So this is what they said about Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 5, finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." It means that there was nothing to fault him for regarding Daniel's life and work. So only his belief in the word of God was his weakness. Consequently, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den because of his prayers. When he was thrown into the den, he was not a young man. He had been about 16 when he was taken to Babylon, and he was about 82 when he was thrown into the den. For such a long time, he faced hardships in a foreign country and still lived a life of God as his purpose. When the Babylon Empire finally fell, people of Judea could finally return during the time of King Koresh of the Persian Empire as promised by God. No one can deny Daniel's crucial role in this return. Even as Christians try to live properly, they may face ordeals or unable to own or enjoy what they want. They may be falsely accused or face losses. And yet, we have hope because God knows the big and small, and we know that He guides us through the process. So even when we face small and large difficulties, if we do not give up taking the proper path, then the person who God has predetermined to save will ask us, "Why do you live like that?" Then do not say, "I don't know. I'm so tired." Look at our eyes and say, "It is because of Jesus Christ, because of the eternal life He gave to me through His blood on the cross." After Jesus spoke about the fall of Jerusalem, He also said the following about the end of the world. In verses 25 to 27, "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. At the time, no one among those with Jesus would have understood the true meaning of this word. Even though they were under the rule of the Roman Empire, it had been peaceful times. No one except Jesus expected that Jerusalem will fall. So the end of the world and second coming of Jesus. But Jesus is saying that when they see Jerusalem fall, they will realize that the world is coming to an end and would accept the coming of the Lord. However, people should not faint after experiencing natural disasters or conflicts, but people will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world. The fear that something may happen or worrying about something that may or may not happen may be even more painful than the actual event or situation that could make us afraid or faint. Let me tell you a story. One carriage was headed to Alexandria. One old lady requested a ride as she was headed in the same direction. So the horseman asked the lady, "Who are you and why are you going there?" She answered, "I'm infected with cholera." The horseman was shocked and told her to leave. The lady with cholera didn't budge and handed him a knife and said, "I will have only 3 people killed in Alexandria. If I kill more, then you can stab me to death." The horseman took her knife and gave her a ride to Alexandria. In a few days, cholera spread in Alexandria and people died. Instead of 3 people, 300, no, more than 3,000 people passed away. The horseman became angry and searched for the lady with cholera. After a few days, he met her and threatened her with a knife. Then she said, "What are you doing? Why are you trying to kill me?" The horseman said, "Don't you know? You said that you will kill only 3 people, but do you know how many you killed? Take this knife." Then she said, "That's a misunderstanding. I didn't break my promise. I only killed 3 people. The rest of the people died of fear that cholera is spreading." As you live longer, death comes closer. When you're young, you think about death at the funeral of your parents, relatives, or parents of your friends. But as you age, you learn of the death of your friends, acquaintances, which brings the thought that your turn could be the next. Wisdom is the acceptance that today was your turn, and tomorrow it could be mine. But even if we do not know when and where we will pass away, we can always live in hope because of God, who embraces us eternally, even after our death. That is why Jesus told us how we need to live. In verse 28, "When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." When the circumstances of our lives are too rough and extreme events happen around us, we should lift up our heads. In such situation, we should be in despair, gloom, and give up. But Jesus tells us to lift up our heads. That means we have hope. Think about what you have gone through. When did you experience salvation, redemption from God? Was it when you did well in school and were popular among friends? Was it when you graduated from a good university and landed a good job? Or was it when you received a higher pay than others and your business went well? If not, was it when all members of the family did their part, shared and respected one another? Or was it when you were not physically sick, were okay financially, and had no problems with people in life? During my ministry, I have not met a person who experienced the salvation of the Lord, the hope of lifting up our head in such circumstances. When they realized that they cannot lift up their heads with their own strength, knowledge, and ability, the Lord put his hand on our face, lifted it up so that our gaze is met with God's, so that we will be empowered. So the situation we do not want could be the channel to lift up our heads to God, to an extent. COVID-19 can be a channel of grace that lifts up our head to focus our gaze on God. Let's obey the word of God and lift up our heads. Even right before the cross, the Lord lifted up his eyes and prayed to heaven. As he looked up to the sky, the Lord looked towards God and could complete the salvation and resurrection of the cross. When we lift our heads to look towards the Lord, we will not only experience the hope from the Lord, but will also become the channel of the Lord to fulfill the history of God on this earth. Then, the following confession in Psalm will become ours. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Let's pray. Father God, when no Israelite had been thinking about the destruction of Jerusalem temple and the fall of the city, Jesus lamented over their future and told them to live lives that prepare them for the end of the world. After Exodus, Israelites did not become slaves of other countries because they lacked strength, but because they did not properly serve God and worshiped idols instead. Lord, may we not forget that even the temples and cities that we have built through our lives will one day fall, and that we cannot know when, where, and how we will die. May we not avoid God and fall to the secular values and desires in our lives at our own temples and cities, and may we not commit the mistake of worshiping some other idol and fall because of it. COVID-19 and all other things of the world may seem to overwhelm us, but as we lift up our heads toward the Lord, may we live each day as worship in the Spirit and truth. By doing so, may we become channels of the grace of God who lives in us, so that we purify and lighten up places we are in life. So may the confession of the psalmist, I lift up my eyes to the mountains, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth, become our own confession. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.